Lansing Mayor Virge Bernero's State of the City address on Monday night offered an uplifting assessment of the capital city. With the new Board of Water and Light facility as a backdrop, the mayor said Lansing is powered up thanks to falling unemployment, rising home sales, and a series of manufacturing and development successes. He urged listeners to take advantage of momentum to address the city's financial challenges and improve public safety. And here to respond and to discuss the city's challenges and opportunities is Carol Wood, longtime city council member and newly reelected president of the city council. Always nice to see you, Carol.
It's nice to be here.
Thanks for joining us on Current State. What do you make of our new studio?
It is gorgeous. I can remember being cramped in some other spaces, so this is very nice.
We clean up rather well.
I think you do.
I spoke with the mayor a couple of days before the state of the city and asked him if positive news out of the city outweighs the challenges the city faces. Not surprisingly, he said, absolutely. Do you agree or disagree?
Well, we have a number of things that are positive that we can crow about. And as we look at other communities around us, do we have challenges out there? Absolutely. And I think we have to look those square in the face and look at coming up with some solutions for those.
What's on your short list of challenges?
Well, neighborhoods. You know, I keep trumpeting that issue over and over again. I think the idea of bringing jobs and everything is wonderful, but if you have a workforce that's in our neighborhoods that are buying our houses, that are sending their children to our schools, you will see that retail as well as manufacturing will come because we have a workforce. So we've got a lot of work to deal with in our neighborhoods, especially with the foreclosures, the fact that we've reduced services, and that's made a difference in how the neighborhoods look as you drive through them today.
How much credit does the mayor deserve for the good things that are happening in Lansing?
Well, I think it's a combination. The mayor definitely has brought those forward to council, but it is a matter of council approving those. And we've asked the tough questions many times, and together we've embraced the changes and looked at making differences for Lansing. So I think it's a cooperative effort, and we'll continue to try to do that balancing act.
Does he deserve blame for the shortcomings in the neighborhoods that you refer to?
Well, the foreclosure rate is not Mayor Bonero's fault. Cutting some of the services and how we allocate dollars, some of those changes, there is some blame that I think not only from his perspective or some of the budgets that were passed by council have an effect on those. So I think it's a little of both.
The mayor emphasizes that the city's long-term future, perhaps even its capacity to avoid eventual bankruptcy, hinges on getting long-term legacy-type costs under control and by eliminating structural deficits. To what extent do you share that worry?
Well, it is extremely important out there. But I think one of the things that we have to continuously look at is we don't make widgets. We are not making hamburgers where I can put less lettuce on a hamburger. We give services. Services mean people. And so part of what we do means that we're going to have personnel out there doing those services. And if people want fire protection and police protection and their garbage picked up, it doesn't happen automatically. It means that we have to pay for those employees. Part of this is negotiating contracts and working with unions to come up with ideas to reduce expenditures and come up with additional revenues. And those are things that we'll have to continue to look at. And again, we shouldn't be spending outside our means, and we should be looking at different ways that we are spending money to see if there are programs and things that we can do cooperatively with other municipalities, along with if we can get volunteer help on some of those issues.
This was not in the State of the City address, but last week I asked Virge about the possibility of service cuts and if they would be necessary to address next year's projected $9 million deficit. Here is part of his answer.
Somewhat, but not really. The plan is to continue to provide quality services, but just probably have to do it in a new way. There may be some things. I mean, for example, a while back we stopped doing tree stump grinding. So in that respect, there may be some services around the edges. There'll probably be some fee increases. But there may be some things that we do differently. I mean, the goal is to keep the quality of service, but to be open to doing it differently.
You share that view to any extent? I mean, it seems like you do.
Yes, I think there are things that we can look at and at doing differently. One of the things that I've heard repeatedly by employees and some of the public is our garbage service. Right now, we have three different services, the city, waste management, and Granger coming through our city at different times during the week. Looking at what East Lansing does, where it is all a city service. Is that something that we could look at? And could we do it cheaper and have less wear and tear on the roads? It would make a difference with having garbage out on one on a street and the fact that you'd only have containers out once during that week instead of all week long, getting knocked over, ending up in the street. I mean, those are issues that we should be looking at.
You expect that to happen?
Well, I know it's one of the things that council has talked about, and Derek Quinney is chair of Public Service Committee, and I know that's one of the things he wants to look at this year.
You would support that, though?
Yes, I think I would.
The state, we're talking with the president of the Lansing City Council, Carol Wood. The State Journal reported last Sunday that one member of the city's financial health team, Steve Lydell, told them that among the list of suggestions being reviewed by the financial health team was moving city employees from a defined benefit plan to a defined contribution plan, like a 401k, privatization of services, including possibly the Board of Water and Light, and a bunch of others. Do any of those give you pause, or would you be on board with any of those proposals?
Well, first of all, we have settled one union contract that went to a hybrid defined contribution for new employees that are coming in. I think one of the misnomers, though, that people have a tendency to forget is with a defined benefit plan, there is money coming into that plan that the employees pay along with the city. If you were to immediately stop the defined benefit plan, there are still legacy costs for the retirees that we currently have in that plan. So the city would still be making contributions. It might be a short-term fix, but in the long term, they would still have that money that they'd have to be paying. So unions are looking at this, they are negotiating, and we've seen this with one contract. As far as selling the Board of Water and Light, absolutely do not support it. I can't be more vocal about that. When we look at how we kept GM here and some of the businesses that we have attracted here, it's because we have a public utility. It's because our rates are less than what the private utilities are, and we can use that as a selling factor when we're selling Lansing.
Anything else to say with regard to privatization of services, though? What is being handled by the city now that would arguably be better handled by the private sector?
Well, and I have mixed feelings on that. I think that our workers and employees are doing an excellent job. Again, I think they have a number of suggestions that can help decrease expenditures and raise revenues. I don't think our employees are the problem. I think they're the solution. And many times what we've seen in privatization is what ends up happening is you might get a low bid and decide to change your services over to that. But over time, then when you've gotten out of the equipment and you've reduced your employees, those costs go up over a long-term process. So I need to examine those issues and look at them very closely.
How do you close the $9 million budget deficit, though, for 2014? I mean, you're legally maxed out on mills, as far as I can tell.
Just about.
Close
very,
to it.
Very close. I think one of the misnomers, when you hear that number out there, it's based on how we're doing government right now. And that's not correct. When those numbers were given to us by the administration, that was a 40-hour work week. That was with raises that had been negotiated. That was having all the service, all the positions that are on the books filled, and we have many vacancies right now. Right now, for the last 6 years, we have had furlough days. Those were not figured into that.
You're saying the deficit effectively for 2014 is less than $9 million?
Yes, it is less than $9 million.
How much less? Do you have an idea?
No, I don't have an actual calculation of what that is. We have asked for some numbers. We've asked, and as a matter of fact, on February 4th, we're going to be having our auditors in talking about our outside audit for last year. The administration will also be talking about their second quarter numbers, and that will be held in council chamber at 6:30. It's a committee of a whole meeting, and that will be televised. And it's one of the things that we have to look at and talk about real numbers, not as if we were doing everything the same as usual. We have made cuts, we have made changes, and we should be looking at that budget picture with that in mind. We also have a number of union contracts that are up, and the health care will be changed in those based on the state statutes and the changes that were made there. So we'll be looking at either a hard cap or an 80-20 with those union contracts. That will continue to decrease what that deficit is right now.
But the number that comes up at the February meeting will still not include the kinds of changes that you feel ought to be included in those projections, correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Interesting. With regard to service sharing, consolidation, and the like, how eager or how reticent are adjoining cities and townships to engage in these discussions?
Well, I think that there have been a number of things that we already do together. There's a number of fire training things that we do together. We do a number of police trainings together. We have worked on our mutual aid and some of those issues together. But I think one of the things is there has to be a trust factor in there. Let's talk about Lansing Township as an example.
Okay.
We have a sewer agreement that we've worked out with them where we provide their sewer services for them, and they pay for that with us. But then in the next breath, when we're calling names or saying they shouldn't exist, it makes it difficult for them to sit down.
You're
at
referring
the table.
To the mayor.
Yes, I am referring to the mayor. I think, you know, first what we have to do is have a mutual respect for the entities that are around us and the elected leaders that are around us to be able to have some cooperation as we sit down and talk about these services.
When I asked the mayor what his relationship, his working relationship was with you now here a couple of days ago, here at the beginning of another year, he said it was as good as ever. Now, I that doesn't sound like a real glowing recommendation of the current dynamic, to tell you the truth, but talk to us about that. I know you had breakfast together, you had a meal together, you broke some kind of bread.
Well, actually, I offered to buy breakfast. We have not, you know, actually had the breakfast yet, but we have had a meeting. We had an hour and a half meeting. We walked out of there with no bloodshed. In fact, we both talked about who was going to do the press release on it so that everyone knew that we had had this private.
And then blood was spilled, right? No, I'm doing the press. No, you're doing the press release.
So, you know, that was, I think, building on the relationship. Next week, we will be having another meeting with him as council leadership. Our first one was a private meeting, just the two of us. We talked about some of our issues and the things that we'd like to see from each other, both understanding what those things were. And we tried to put the past behind us.
Did you discuss any intention you might have to run for mayor again?
Actually, he did bring that up, but I did not talk about what my feelings were and what I was going to do in that capacity.
Have you decided in the meantime?
Yes, I have decided. I'm not going to be seeking the mayor's job this year. I have a lot on my plate when we look at council and what we have before us this year as president. I believe that you need to be putting all of your energies toward that and making the difference that will make a difference for Lansing right now.
Well, we've been on the air with our new program. We're in our third week. I don't know how we made it to our third week, and it took all this time to get you on the program here because you're at the center of so much of what's going on in Lansing. Carol Woods, president of the Lansing City Council, we really appreciate your time, and we'll see you again soon.
We'd love to come back.
Thanks.